Thanks for downloading the Wave Church Podcast. We hope this message inspires and brings you into a deeper relationship with God. Enjoy the message.
Wow. Anybody glad to be in God's house tonight? Oh, come on, you can do better than that. Are you glad to be in God's house? Make some noise in here. Do you like who you're standing next to? If you don't, you can still change your seat. You got time. Would you do me a favor? And I just sense God's presence here already in such an incredible way. But I want you to look at your neighbor, whichever one you like the best, and just say, neighbor. Some of y'all did not even look at your neighbor. You know I can see you. Come on, look at him. Say, neighbor. Oh, neighbor. God's got something special in store for you tonight. Come on, find another neighbor, the one you completely ignored. Come on, tell that other neighbor. Say, other neighbor, I'm telling you, God's got something special in store for you tonight. Now, if you believe what you said, would you give God some praise in here? Amen. You can be seated. You can be seated. How you doing at the six? Hey, this is awesome. It's privilege for me, to say the least. This is not my first time at Wave Church. This is my second time here, and I kind of have a rule that I created as I've been traveling, is that when you come to a church the first time, you're still kind of in the guest category, but if you come back the second time, then you're straight up family. So come on, I'm just your chocolate cousin from the great country of Texas, and it's awesome to be here at the six, and man, I just have ridiculous, radical Red Bull expectation that God's going to do something. Do you have expectation? This is awesome. I was just thinking, even in worship and the atmosphere that's here, that you are blessed to be a part of this church. I hope you know that. The grass doesn't get greener anywhere else if it is this AstroTurf. It ain't real. Just the atmosphere of this house is something on it, and it really just kind of emanates from your pastors, your leaders, who I think is a living legend. Can we thank God for the senior pastor of this house? Come on, for Pastor Steve and his amazing wife. Come on, y'all can do better than that, man. Y'all are blessed. Why are you clapping? Help me thank God for my white chocolate brother, Pastor Josh, man. You're awesome. Come on, it's just amazing just to see legacy on display. And I'm glad to be here. Can I jump straight to the Word of God? If y'all feel like hearing it like I feel like preaching it, I think something's going to happen. I don't want to assume anything. How many of you have never heard me preach before? Can I see your hand if you have never heard me preach? Oh, see, that's almost everybody. Okay, quick disclaimer. There's so many different preaching styles. There are some preachers who are very calm, very quiet, stoic, and sedate as they stand behind a pulpit or a circular table to softly pontificate the processes of philosophy, eschatology, and soteriology. And they were considered uncanny and boisterous for you to say anything while they're sharing what the Lord has deposited in the deep recesses of their heart, soul, mind, and spirit. I ain't one of those preachers, okay? Let you know right now, I am a holla back preacher, okay? So all that means is for the next 6.5 hours that we have tonight, if anything I'm saying is resonating with you, you can say amen, you can say preach that, you could grunt. Let's see, you could stand up in the middle. It won't bother me. Stand up in the middle and go, ooh, that was for me. You could also stand up in the middle and go, ooh, that was for you. For real, you needed that. Any one of those will work, but just help a brother out tonight. I want to go to Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. Start at verse number 1, and we'll land at verse number 10. Once you're ready to read it, say, yeah. You need some time to find it, or you're waiting to look on the screen, say, hold up. I heard that faint. Hold up. Come on, Acts. Acts chapter 3. And it says, one day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 p.m. Now, a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. And Peter said, look at us. So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get a little something from them. And Peter said, Silver or gold, I do not have. How many know that's where most people get stuck in life right there? Most people get stuck on what they do not have. Because how many know the enemy is really proficient at reminding you what you don't have? Oh, is it just me? Ever just been scrolling through the gram and heard the enemy loud in your ear saying, you know, you ain't got that, you ain't got like that, you ain't got to like them. He loves to tell you what you do not have. But thank God for that comma. I'm glad that Peter did not stop at what he did not have, but he says, "Ooh, but what I do have." In other words, Peter said, I got something. Come on, look at your neighbor one more time. Say, you know you got something. No, encourage him. Say, you got something. He says, what I do have, I give you, and I'm not giving it in my name, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. And taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. And when all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Can you say amen? Come on, that is good all by itself. It's so good. I want to preach to you tonight, and I really believe this is a word for somebody. I want to preach to you using this as a title, The Beauty of Being Stuck. The beauty of being stuck. There is a beauty to being stuck, and that's what I want to talk about tonight. Would you bow your heads? Let's pray before we go into this. It's going to be a long prayer, but just bear with me. God, you are awesome. Speak tonight at the six. Amen. The beauty of being stuck. Has anybody been to an airport lately? Can I see your hand if you've been to an airport lately? Quite a few of you. If you lifted up your hand, then you are acutely aware of the fact that what I basically just asked was, has anybody been to purgatory lately? Anybody been to hell and back lately? People, you know, it is hard to travel in these traveling streets. After, let's see, almost 15 years now of full-time traveling itinerant ministry and encroaching upon some 4,000 miles flown, I am fully convinced that if you really want to test your faith, just book a flight. Book you a flight, okay? If you really think that you're full of the Spirit, fly Spirit and then come holler at your boy, because it is no joke to travel. People, the Bible says that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness. Don't forget that last one, self-control. If you are a believer, then that fruit should be evident in your life. However, if you're here at the six tonight, you're like, man, Robert, I got all that fruit, but you've never flown before. How do I say this? I don't believe you. I do not believe you, because the airport is designed to suck the fruit of the Spirit out of you. People, the whole airport system is orchestrated to make you lose your Christianity and your sanity. People, the lost baggage claim desk is really just a test to see if you won't say words that you're not supposed to say. Yes, the reason the person behind the counter is moving at a glacial pace and is typing one word per minute and seems to be undisturbed and unperturbed by the fact that you paid them a fee to lose your bag. It's because that person wants to quietly giggle on the inside when they make you go off in public and speak in a tongue that needs no interpretation. Come on, can anybody be real in here tonight? It is stressful sometimes to travel. So as a consequence, over the years, I've developed what I call Robert's Rules of Flying. Okay, and I won't bore you with all of them, but I'll just give you one. One of my rules of flying is I do nonstop flights only. Yes, I am a nonstop ninja. I'm not about that connection life. Just take me from Dallas to my destination, okay? The problem with my rule, though, is the reality that there are just some places in life, if you're going to go, you will have to stop and make a connection. Ooh, that'll preach right there, but I won't. Anyway, the challenge for me occurs when my departing flight is late. and I got to connect in another city. And by the time I get to the connecting city, I have 1.5 minutes to get to my next gate. And to add to that, I landed at gate A1. And my connecting gate is at gate Z99. And I got 1.5 minutes to get to gate Z99. People, at this point, I only got three options. I can miss my flight, ain't gonna happen. I can call for that cute little cart to take me there, not gonna happen. Or I can put my Orange Theory fitness to the test and run like Usain Bolt with everything I got to make that flight. People, this happened to me last week in Chicago. I am running with everything I got, just trying to get on this flight. But here's what I love. Often as I'm running with all that I got, I will look and I will see something in the distance. I will see something that will remind me of the goodness and the favor of God. I will see something in the distance that lets me know that our God is still in the miracle working business. I will see something that lets me know that God can do exceedingly, abundantly, above all you may ask or think. I will see one of those moving walkways. Have you ever seen one of those before? The moving walkway. I'm about to have church on the moving walkway, because to me, a moving walkway is just like the favor of God. Because how many know if you start walking on that moving walkway, that thing will expedite your journey. It will get you there quicker than you could have in your own strength or in your own ingenuity. I love a moving walkway. But the only problem, though, with the moving walkway, my only frustration with the moving walkway, my only issue with the moving walkway are the people on the moving walkway who refuse to move. No, for real, what is wrong with you people? Why in the world would you stand on the moving walkway with your big old suitcase that should have been checked? Why are you standing on the moving walkway? People, this is a huge issue in our nation that nobody's talking about. Yes, yes, you want my vote in 2020? Take care of these people who are standing on the moving walkway. People, it's gotten so bad, they have to put up signs for segregation. Come on, you've seen the signs. You've seen it. It says stand left, walk right. Only problem, moving walkway is only about this big. So I wish they would put up a new sign that says walk left, stand, go home, and never fly again. You're frustrating. People standing on the moving walkway. And I think my frustration with you people who are here tonight is it's not that you're standing. I'm cool. If you were standing any other place in the airport, I would be fine with it. I think my frustration stems from the fact that you have brought stagnation on a mechanism that was created for movement. Yeah. That's my frustration, is that you have brought stagnation and stuckness to something that was created to take you faster than you could in your own strength. And hear me, anytime you have stagnation on a mechanism that was made for movement, you will always have frustration. Always. People, this is traffic. Hello, I don't mind sitting down for an hour, looking out a window, listening to the radio. That's catching a vibe if I'm in my house. I don't want to do it in my car when I'm on the highway. Come on, how is it I can sit in the same spot on my couch for hours and crush a good Netflix series and be cool with it? But if I'm on the runway at Dallas-Fort Worth Airport and we sitting on that runway for 45 minutes waiting to leave, I'm about to hijack this plane. Because if I'm on the runway, I want to move. Because anytime you have stagnation on a mechanism that was created for movement, you always have frustration. And I'm wondering tonight if the reason that you are secretly frustrated with where you are in life is because you know that your life has become stuck, still, and stagnant when God created you for movement. Oh, could it be possible, even plausible,
that the reason you are annoyed with where you are right now is because your life has become stuck when God made you for movement. You do know that God created you for movement. He is taking you somewhere. Come on, our God has always taken us from strength to strength, from faith to faith, from glory to glory. He's trying to take you to a place that he has already prepared for you because he is a God of movement. People, that's why the Bible says that the steps of the righteous, not the stagnation, the steps of the righteous are ordered by God. Why are the steps ordered? Because God is a God of movement. Ooh, I'm telling you, I could back that thing up all the way to the book of Genesis and show you that God is a God of movement. From Genesis chapter 1, he shows us he's a God of movement.
We don't believe you, Robert. Give us the scripture.
I'll give you the scripture. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness covered the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was what? Moving over the face of the waters. The first thing God did was reveal that he is a God that moves. Oh, I feel like preaching tonight. In fact, to me, creation was just the commencement of a symphony where God, the cosmic conductor, pulled out his omnipotent baton and just began this melody of a movement. Because everything he made had to move. Everything he created had a cadence. He said, let there be stars. Put the whole solar system in place. And when it was all set, he goes, oh, yeah. Y'all can't stand still. Get to moving. And all of a sudden, it started moving. Even right now, we're moving. You can't feel it, but we're moving. Right now, everything he created had to move. He said, let there be water. Here comes water. And said, water, you can't be still. That's mosquitoes. Get to moving. And the water started moving. Everything he made, every animal had to move. Created a cheetah. And guess what that cheetah started doing? Moving. Everything he made had to move. Created a turtle and told the turtle to get to moving. The turtle was like, God, I'm an introvert. You know, I want to come out of my shell. God was like, no, that's cool. That's cool. You still got to move, though. You ain't got to be as fast as the cheetah, but you still got to get to moving. Everything God made had to move. He reached down in some dirt, created man, breathed into him the breath of life. And guess what man's heart started doing? It started moving. That's why when you go for your checkup, your doctor puts in his headphones and he checks your heart. He's trying to make sure that the same beat that God started in Genesis is still moving. And if there's irregularities in the beat, that means there's something wrong in your body. See, this is why I give God the best praise that I got when I come into church. Not because my life is perfect. I'm just thankful for every morning that I wake up that my heart is still beating in my chest. That alone is enough for me to give God praise. Can somebody just take 10 seconds and give God some praise if you're thankful that you're still here? Hallelujah! Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Woo! Just the fact that I still got a pulse is enough for me to give God some praise. Oh, everything God made, ooh, I gotta hurry, had to move. People, you don't believe God is a God of movement? 2/3 of his name is go. Some of you get that tomorrow. People, he defeated death, hell, and the grave. He's about to levitate to heaven for the final time. And all of a sudden, the disciples are like, hold up, give us like a commission or something, a great commission. He's like, oh, you want a commission? All right, go! Into all the world, preach the gospel to every living creature. God is a God of movement. The tension occurs because we have a God who's a God of movement, but humanity has this tendency and this propensity to always get stuck. Have you noticed this about us? Oh, come on, we get stuck. I'm not even talking about sin. I'm just talking about stuff like you sit in the same seat, in the same section every time you come to church. I'm talking about the fact you go to the same 4 restaurants All the time. I'm talking about the fact that you don't even know the coffee shop around the corner from the one you go to has better espresso. But you'll never know because you go to the same coffee shop. We just have this proclivity to get stuck. I would even argue theologically that all that is wrong with the world right now is because humanity got stuck. Adam and Eve, they got stuck. They didn't keep it moving. They got stuck at the wrong tree, listening to the wrong voice, so they made the wrong choice, and we are still reaping the ramifications of their decision. So within our DNA, intrinsically, is this sickness of stuckness. I feel like I'm preaching better than y'all are talking in here tonight. But my text tonight is in Acts chapter 3, and I won't be before you long. And I bring up Adam and Eve getting stuck, which is Genesis chapter 3, because there is a synergy between Acts chapter 3 and Genesis chapter 3. If you look at Acts chapter 3 at a micro level, which we will do, all you're going to see is a man who was lame from birth, outside of the temple gate, no access to the presence of God, and Peter and John, full of the Holy Spirit, lift him up and restore him. But if we broaden the lens of this text and really look at it at a macro level, I'll submit to you this man is really just a picture of the spiritual human condition. Because how many know, because of sin, we were born lame. Oh yes, you were lame from birth, all of us. Robert, I'm really a good person. No, you lame. You were lame from birth. No, for real. You ever notice nobody had to teach you how to lie? Nobody had to teach you how to steal. You weren't even two. You had already perfected selfishness.
Mine.
Because you're lame from birth. This is what sin did. Sin made us spiritually lame. We had no access to the presence of God. We were beggars. So what Peter and John did is really just a picture of the power of the cross. When they raised that man up and gave him access into the temple, that's what the cross did for me. It gave me access to the presence of God, not because of my record, but because of the record of Jesus Christ and his efficacious blood that paid the price of my sin. How many are thankful you don't have to be a beggar, that you're a son, you're a daughter of the Most High God? Oh, that's something to celebrate. So there's a synergy between Acts chapter 3 and Genesis chapter 3, but in Genesis chapter 3, when Adam and Eve took of their fruit, that's when we got stuck. And this isn't in the Bible, but this kind of in my exegetical imagination, is I think when Adam and Eve took of that forbidden fruit and all of us got stuck, I think God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit immediately called an executive Trinity team meeting in heaven. You know, God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, all three of them were there, but one at the same time. And they saw Adam and Eve stuck, and God, the Father, looked at Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and said, y'all see what I see? They stuck. You know, they can't get themselves out, so one of y'all going to have to go down there and get them out. And Jesus immediately looks at the Holy Spirit and says, well, can't nobody move like you, so why don't you go down there and get them out? And the Holy Spirit was like, hold up. Don't play, Jesus. Don't play. Come on, you know I'm Acts chapter 2. You Matthew chapter 1. Don't be trying to jack up the Bible, Jesus. Don't do that. Come on now, you the Savior. You go down there. Jesus is like, you're right. I'm tripping. And Jesus gets on the balcony of heaven. Jumps off the balcony of heaven. It was a 42-generation jump. And he lands in the womb of a virgin named Mary. I'm at Christmas. And all of a sudden, her fiance, Joseph, says, girl, we need to talk because you've been acting weird. She's like, yeah, I've been meaning to tell you some stuff. He's like, I bet you have been meaning to tell me some stuff. Why have you been so distant lately? You getting cold feet? You don't want to get married anymore? She's like, no, it's not that, Joseph. It's just, oh, how do I tell you this? Oh, no, just give me your hand. Takes Joseph's hand. Puts it on her stomach. He goes, whoa! Something just moved. She goes, yeah, that's what he does. All of a sudden, there's tension in their relationship. So she calls her pregnant cousin Elizabeth, and she takes an Uber to her pregnant cousin Elizabeth's house. And when she steps out of the Uber, she meets her pregnant cousin Elizabeth, and they both waddle up to each other like two penguins in Alaska meeting for the very first time. And Elizabeth goes, girl, you ain't gonna believe this. I have not felt my baby move in weeks. But as soon as you stepped out of that Uber. Girl, my baby started kicking and moving. I don't know what's on the inside of you, but it's causing something on the inside of me to move. And Mary goes, girl, that's what he does. All of a sudden, Elizabeth looks at Mary and says, girl, I cannot believe you took an Uber down here. Girl, you are pregnant. And Mary goes, yeah, and the Uber driver was weird too. Elizabeth goes, what was his name? Mary goes, John. Elizabeth goes, I like that name. Fast forward 30 years later, John the Baptist and Jesus are sitting there, and John the Baptist is baptizing people, and he looks up and says, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. This is the one I was telling y'all about. I'm baptizing you with water, but he's going to baptize you with fire and with the Holy Spirit. And all of a sudden, they get closer in the water, and one of John's disciples low-key looks at him and says, yo, you know this dude? And John is like, yes, I know this dude. And what's crazy is the first time we met, we were in water. And now we're meeting again in water. This must be a destiny moment. I have to decrease so that he may increase. He baptizes Jesus. Jesus starts moving in the earth, healing the sick, raising the dead, goes to the cross, gets up from the grave, and all of a sudden he ascends back up to the right hand of the Father, and the Trinity executive team meeting is readjourned. And the Holy Spirit and God the Father look at Jesus and say, man, you killed that thing. And Jesus goes, man, I did the best that I could. And they both look at the Holy Spirit and say, it's your turn now. He goes, I know. And the Holy Spirit gets on the balcony of heaven and jumps off and lands in the upper room, Acts chapter 2. And all of a sudden, there was a mighty sound from heaven as a mighty rushing wind, and all of them started speaking in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. People, I just gave you the whole Bible like in 10 minutes, but that's cool. Just sit there. No, it's fine. It's fine. And full of the Holy Spirit. And in that room that day was Peter and John. Peter and John, now I'm at my text. Peter and John go, we just got power to be witnesses to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. We better start at Jerusalem. So Peter and John say, let's go to the church and let's go pray. So Peter and John are walking together to church to pray. Peter and John are walking together to church. Peter and John together. How many know this is a walking contradiction? Peter and John, first of all, they don't even have to hang out anymore. You realize that? Jesus has already ascended to heaven. The only thing that connected them was that Jesus handpicked them. He selected them. They do not have to kick it anymore. Why in the world are Peter and John walking together to church? People, one of these things is not like the other. I'll start on a practical level. Peter is older. John is much younger. I'll bring it to the 21st century. John is on Snapchat. Peter's still checking his Facebook. Peter and John walking together. John is an introvert. He's very pensive. He thinks before he speaks. Peter, oh, is an extrovert. He's always putting his foot in his mouth. He's going to say something crazy and then think about it later. Peter and John together. People, when John got ready to express his love for Jesus, he just put his head on the chest of Jesus. He's the disciple that's always cuddling with Jesus. When Peter got ready to express his love for Jesus, homeboy put out a knife, a switchblade, and cut a dude's ear all the way off. Just, Jesus like, what are you doing, Peter? Peter's like, Jesus, I'm with you. I don't know about them, but I'm with you. I'm ride or die, all right? I'm with you. I'm just trying to figure out how a gangster and Gandhi are going to church together. It's a walking contradiction. Oh, maybe that's the point. Understand, this is the first miracle. The healing of this lame man is the first miracle after the birth of the church. I submit to you, this is not an ordinary miracle. This is a prototype miracle by which God is showing us how his power is going to work through the church. Maybe that's the point, that they're a contradiction, because God is trying to teach the church today that what the culture calls a contradiction, the kingdom calls collaboration.
Oh, I wish somebody was getting this in here tonight. What the culture sees as the greatest point of contradiction. How many know in the kingdom of God, it is the greatest place of collaboration. It is the place where lame people can get up and be restored. I'm telling you, what the culture is screaming contradiction, the kingdom says, oh, no. That is collaboration. And I came to tell somebody, it is the trick of the enemy to get us today to focus on the contradiction.
Well, I'm a Democrat. Well, I'm a Republican. Well, I'm black. I'm white. Well, I'm old. Well, I'm young.
Focusing on the contradiction, I'm telling you, but the power is our ability to collaborate in spite of the contradictions. Oh, I wish the church would get this. Because some of y'all don't like that. You want to hang out with people that walk like you, talk like you, think like you, vote like you. But our power is not in our similarities. Our power is in our differences. But in spite of the differences, we still get together and declare that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And he cares about broken people. Forget the contradiction. Let's collaborate so lame people can get up. Hallelujah. What the culture is screaming contradiction, the kingdom is saying no collaboration. Oh, see, y'all got me sweating. I said I was going to be chill tonight because it was the sex. I'll never forget in ministry before I was about to propose to my wife, who is super fine. Never forget, there was a pastor who I actually really looked up to. I was going to propose to my wife, and we were at a conference. And he pulled me to the side. I'll never forget it. And he says, I hear you're about to propose to Taylor. I said, yes, sir. He said, huh. He said, you know she white. I said, yes, sir. I noticed. He said, look, I'm gonna shoot straight with you. He said, you can propose and marry her if you want. He said, but this is America. He said, just know that the scope of your ministry will be limited if you're in an interracial relationship. He said, you can marry her if you want. I'm just saying, just be ready for your ministry to be hindered. And every time God opens up a ridiculous door, I've preached on almost every continent. I'm telling you, I look back at what he called a contradiction was actually the greatest place of collaboration. And we've traveled all over the world preaching the gospel. Oh, that ain't even the shouting part. Can I show you the shouting part? Do y'all have that picture of my little humans? Can y'all put that picture up real quick? That's the shouting part right there. Oh, no, y'all missed it. We made that. Yeah, I didn't do that by myself. That right there, that was a collaboration. Look at the beauty that came out of a collaboration in spite of a surface contradiction. Wonder how much beauty we would see on the earth today if we collaborated instead of focusing on the contradiction. Wonder how many lame people could get up. The church would stop focusing on the contradictions and collaborate. Ah. All that was my intro. Because we can't just talk about Peter and John. And I think it is worth noting that the first miracle of the birth of the church was a collaboration between one disciple that had a big heart and another disciple that had a big mouth. And maybe it was John's compassion that noticed the lame man, but it was Peter's courage. So, hey, bro, get up. No, I still got a knife in my pocket. Get up. Ain't nobody gonna feel sorry for you. And John's like, oh, Peter, love. Collaboration. Can't just talk about Peter and John. We got to talk about this lame man just for a moment. Are y'all coming to play my show, Timothy Apollo, spiritual music behind me? You can play. It'll make it sound good. this man is really the focus of the text. And I said like this really to give you some sermon prep insight, because whenever I preach a message like this about a lame person, I will sit like this. Because I want to feel, even if it's just for a moment, what that person had to go through. Can you think about, even in our current context, many people don't understand what some of our disabled brothers and sisters have to face. Can you imagine in biblical antiquity, no wheelchairs, no hover rounds? It was the epitome of being stuck. When somebody dropped you off, you better get comfortable. You're going to be there for a while. And I thought about this, that the only thing that didn't work in this man's life were his legs. Think about that. Everything else worked. Mind worked. Arms worked. Eyes worked. Ears worked. Dude, probably had good teeth. I don't know. The only thing that didn't work were his legs, but that one thing affected everything else. Affected his relationships. How many know when you're stuck, the only other people you can talk to is other stuck people? Oh, yes, because lame recognized lame. It affected his economy. He's got to beg now. He can't work. One thing affected everything else. Some of you in here tonight, hear me. You think you have so many problems going on in your life? You don't. It's just one. Your bad attitude is affecting every single aspect of your life. Your procrastination is affecting every area of your life. One thing can affect everything else. He sits there. Stuck. You know when you get stuck, you got to develop systems of stuckness. Do what you got to do to get around. You got systems. You got relationships. Talking to other stuck people about stuck stuff. Hey, bro, what you going to do today? Man, probably chill here for a little bit. What you going to do? Yeah, same. Just stuck. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You ever been stuck and you just start developing relationships with other stuck people? Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Some of y'all have experienced the power of God raising you up even after you were stuck, because you got a word from God or you got fresh perspective, and all of a sudden you're not stuck anymore. And what do? You try, don't you, to go back and talk to the same stuck people that you used to roll with, but all of a sudden the jokes aren't funny anymore. You're trying to figure out how they still doing the same things, going to the same club, living the same life, and just going in circles, and you're trying to relate, but you're wondering, how in the world did I ever hang out with y'all? And then they got the nerve to look at you and say, seem like you different. Seem like you changing. Yeah, that's the point. Of course I'm changing. I don't want to be who I always was. I want to be who God created and called me to be. You better believe I'm changing. That's the point. That's the point. If I'm not changing, I'm not living. If I am the same person at 40 that I was at 20, I wasted 20 years of my life. It seemed like you're changing. You better believe I'm changing. Yeah, it seemed like you stuck up. No, I'm not stuck up. I'm up. You stuck. That's the problem. That's why you don't understand. Oh, let me hurry up. He's stuck. Systems of stuckness. And the thing that really got me about the text, Pastor Josh, and I preached from this before and I never saw it, is the Bible says he was dropped off in front of the temple, the church, if you will, every day. Not just on Sunday. Every day. Every day. I studied every day in the Greek. Guess what I mean? Every day. Every day. So if he was dropped in front of the church, hear me, every day, that means there are two people in this text that nobody ever preaches about. Everybody talks about the lame man and Peter and John, but there's two other people that nobody ever preaches about, and they're in this service today. Where's my people that are going to help me? Come up real quick. See? Everybody talks about the lame man. I've never seen a lame man stand. The lame man. Oh. It's going to be a long illustration. Everybody talks about the lame man. And everybody talks about Peter and John. But how come nobody ever talks about Billy and Bob? Because the Bible says he was dropped in front of the church every day. Every day, dropped.
every day. You know what that means? That means Sunday morning, Billy and Bob picked him up. They came over here. They dropped him in front of the church. They dropped him. He would hold out his cup and beg. Just hold out your cup and beg. They would go to work, do whatever they had to do, walk away. They would come right back about 5 o'clock, come right back after he's been begging all day, pick him right back up. You got to go faster than this, bros. And then they would drop him off at his house right about here, and then they would go home. That is Sunday. Monday morning, they came right back, picked him up. They pick him up. They drop him off over here in front of the church. He holds out his cup and begs. They went to work, did whatever they had to do, came right back about 5 o'clock, picked him right back up, drops him off at his house, and then they go back home.
That's Monday.
Tuesday, came right back. You know he was in a workout. Picked him up, dropped him out in front of the church. He holds out his cup and begs. They went to work, did whatever they had to do. Came right back about 5 o'clock. Picked him right back up, drop him back off at his house, and then go back home. Wednesday came right. No, I'm playing.
I'm just trying to show you the laborious nature of every day. We ain't even got to Saturday. He's sweating every day. So maybe for the first few days, they did it out of the kindness of their heart. Maybe they did it a month. They go to Wave Church. They're good people. Maybe they did it a month. Every day out of the kindness of their heart. But I think one of those days, they picked him up. They dropped him off. Hold up. He holds out his cup and begs. They went to work. They came back. He's been holding out his cup all day. So he ain't broke. He got a little something, something. And hey, come on, even Uber ain't free. I think one of those days they looked in that cup and said, hey, bro, ain't nobody going to be picking you up every day for free. Come on, get your cut. Just get a little bit. Get your cut. Yes, now you got your cut. Now pick them back up. Ooh, and doesn't it feel lighter now? And drop them off. And now they are whistling on their way back home because they got their cut. And now we have a sick system of stuckness. And collaborators to his stuckness. How many know at this point, Billy and Bob don't want him to be healed? They don't want him whole. It would affect their pockets. They are now the beneficiaries of his stuckness and his dysfunction. The reason I brought Billy and Bob up here is to tell somebody who is stuck right now that whenever you are stuck, there will always be Peter and John who are trying to empower you and pull you up into who God has called you to be. And there will also be Billies and Bobs who want to enable you, who don't want you to get better, because it is a sick system. It is a connection that they have to your dysfunction. I'm just saying, somebody who's stuck needs to check your circle. Sometimes there are people who are benefiting from your dysfunction. And Billy and Bob could be a woman. Billy and Bob could be a girl. You can be dating Billy or Bob. I'm just saying. And some of you can't say amen because you're sitting next to Billy and Bob. And that's cool. Just keep looking straight ahead. They won't know that that's them. But I'm just saying, check your circle. Thank you so much. Y'all can get up. Thank you. Watch this. Later we will find out that that system you just saw of getting picked up, holding out his cup, giving them their cut, that went on for 40 years. 40 years of get picked up, hold out my cup, give them their cut. Go back home for 40 years? How many after 40 years, you're just a robot. Just going through the motions. Stuck. You know you're stuck when you stop looking up. Some of you, what I just described is your life. You just call it your job.
go to work, make a few bucks, give the IRS their cut, go back home. Is that what God created you for? No, he came that you might have life and life more abundantly, and he is trying to break your system of stuckness. What I love is that one day after 40 years, one day after 40 years, one day. That's the powerful thing about the text, is that it starts off with one day. This is why you can't give up. This is why you can never throw in the towel. This is why you cannot commit suicide. Because how many know one day, one word, one moment in the presence of God can change the trajectory of your life? Come on, who am I preaching to? Somebody, this is your one day where God told you you had to be at the six, because he's trying to wake you up. He's trying to break your system, your routine. One day, after 40 years, one day of going through the motions, all of a sudden he hears voices full of the Holy Spirit who say, look at us. And the Bible says that he gave Peter and John his attention. I bet he did. They broke his routine. They broke his system. He just gave them his attention. That's where the miracle starts, you know. The miracle starts when you pay attention. Oh, this whole thing is just about paying attention. Even Peter and John just paid attention. Can you think about this? For years, everybody else just stepped over this dude and went right into the church. Peter and John were the first ones full of the Holy Spirit who said, if any two or three of us agree as touching anything, it shall be done. We ain't got to wait till we get in the church. God can do a miracle in the parking lot. This man can get up right now. They just paid attention. God is trying to get your attention. You hear me? What you're facing right now is God trying to get your attention. Because if he can get your attention, he can exceed your expectations. Oh, I'm going to say that again. If God can get your attention, he'll exceed your expectation. He gave them his attention. Here we go. Expecting to get something. What was he expecting to get? Money. You think he was expecting to walk? Please. After being stuck that long, please believe homeboy was not lacing up his Nikes. He was expecting to get some money. He's like, oh, they see me. I'm about to get paid today. And isn't that sad? That's the sad reality of being stuck for so long. Because when you get stuck, you'll start to downgrade your dream to fit your reality. He was going to settle for money because he didn't even believe that movement was possible. Sometimes when you've been stuck for so long, you will downgrade your dream to fit your reality. It's like, oh, I guess I'll never have a good marriage, so no, we'll just live together and just be roommates. No! Don't downgrade your dream to fit your reality. Oh, no, I guess I'll never have the business that God spoke to me to start. I'll just go to this job that I don't like. No, don't downgrade your dream to fit your reality. Well, no, I guess there aren't any good men, so that's cool. I'll just be some married guy side chick. No, it's fine. No, don't downgrade your dream to fit your reality when you serve a God that wants to exceed your expectation. Gave him his attention. Peter goes, silver and gold I do not have. Can you imagine the dude's face? Isn't it crazy that his greatest miracle is on the other side of his greatest disappointment? Yeah. See, you shout when they say silver and gold I did not have because you know how it is. But imagine being him. He's like, ooh, they see me. I'm about to get paid. We ain't got it. He's like, well, then why are you looking at me for? Greatest miracle is preceded by his greatest disappointment. Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, come on, somebody. In the name of Jesus Christ. See, some of y'all ain't clapping because you don't know the power that is in that name.
But I'm thankful for Peter. Peter had to be a preacher because he's name dropping. You know how people love to name drop? If you're going to drop a name, please drop a name that's got the power to get somebody back up again. Drop a name that can heal the sick and can raise the dead. Come on, somebody that knows there's power in the name of Jesus. Would you give that name some praise in this place?
Name of Jesus, walk. And man got up. He started walking and leaping and praising God. He jumped all the way into the 6 o'clock service. Well, some people want to just have regular church and were like, oh, hallelujah. And they saw him jumping and leaping. They're like, oh, wow, he's excited. Okay, calm down. Doesn't take all that. You can worship like this. And here he is, hallelujah, just running and jumping. They're like, oh, wow, he is so excited. Calm down. He said, hallelujah, just going crazy. And some of y'all are laughing, but I'm in churches all the time, and you would be shocked at the people when they see somebody praising God exuberantly, how they'll roll their eyes and look at them like they're crazy. Don't you ever judge somebody's praise. You don't know how long they've been stuck. You don't know what God pulled them out of. Come on, some of us know that we're not even supposed to be here, that we almost lost our mind. Some of us are fully convinced that if it had not been for the grace of God in our life, I would have been gone a long time ago. Started praising God. There they are going, oh, it doesn't take all that. Why is he jumping like that? Oh, and what? Wait. Hold up. I've seen them feet before. Oh, that's the dude that used to sit outside. I stepped over him at least 100 times. Yeah, that's the same. God, they recognized him. The same guy that used to sit begging. You want to know the beauty of being stuck? The beauty of being stuck is that one day you can get up. The beauty of being stuck is that God in his grace will allow the same people that saw you in your lame season will see you in your leaping season. And that's when you really got to testify and say, yeah, I'm the same one that used to be depressed. Guess what? I got my joy back. Yeah, I'm the same one that used to be down. Guess what? God raised me up. That's the beauty of being stuck. And I don't know who this is for, and I've gone longer than I should, but somebody had to hear this today because you're stuck. And God did not create you to be stuck or stagnant. He created you for movement. And he brought you here tonight to get your attention because he wants to exceed your expectation. Pastor Josh set it up so beautifully. Some of you, I'm talking about even your physical body. He said it. You've been that way for so long. But you've lost hope that God can do anything. Don't downgrade your dream to fit your reality. God can exceed your expectation. I'm going to ask every head bowed, all eyes closed. Father, thank you for your presence in here. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed in here tonight. But if you're here and you'd be so honest and say, Pastor Robert, man, this is for me. I'm stuck. Going through life, I'm not living it, just the same routine, same system. Some of you, you know, as soon as I brought them on stage, you knew the people that you're connected to who are enabling your stuckness. Tonight, God wants to break that soul tie, that connection. He wants to send you Peters and Johns who are going to empower you to get up and be all that God has called you to be. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. But if you're in here tonight and you'd be so honest, say, Pastor Robert, this is for me. And tonight I'm giving God permission to break my routine, my system of stuckness. That's you. Would you just lift up your hand right where you are, high enough, long enough to where I can see it? Hands are going up all over this place tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. You can put it right back down. Heads still bowed, eyes still closed. You're here tonight and you've never taken that first step, which is to say, Jesus, my life is yours. What I love about that story that I didn't get to is that this man's healing started a revival in that city to where Peter and John declared in front of the whole city, there is by no other name than the name of Jesus Christ that you can be saved. that man became a sermon illustration to what our God does. When you're stuck, he pulls you up. You can't get yourself out. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, but if you've never just surrendered your life to Jesus, but you say, today's that day, I'm giving him my life. That's you. Would you just lift up your hand high enough, long enough to where I can see it, saying, that's me, I'm giving him my life today. I see those hands. So many hands. Here's what I want to do. I don't want to embarrass you. This is actually to empower you. I cannot preach a message like this and let you just stay in your seat. I think there's something powerful, even in the natural, about getting away from where you are and stepping out into another place. So if you lifted up your hand, or you should have lifted up your hand for either one of those, come on, I want you to get as close to this altar as you can. Just, I don't care who you got to move out of the way. Don't worry about what somebody else is going to think about you. Come on, I want you to get to this altar right now. And I'm believing in this moment, God is breaking your routine. He's breaking your cycle, your system of being stuck. Come on.
Thanks for listening to the Wave Church Podcast. If you made a decision today to follow Jesus, please go to wavechurch.com and click on I Made a Decision so we can help you on your way to know God in a deeper way. And if you want to visit one of our locations, the website can help you locate the campus near you, or you can live stream our services. Have a great day.